Hello, and welcome to The Double Pivot, the world's most agreeable soccer analytics podcast. I am Michael Cayley. We are back. It is not a Champions League week, and man, does soccer get a little thin right now, and it's not a Champions League week. Not even all the teams in the title race, like, played. Some of them are playing right now. We're recording this on Wednesday afternoon? I don't know what days are. I'm on vacation.
It's Wednesday afternoon, I believe. For you. For me, it's other time.
Exactly. So I brought my microphone on vacation, get a little podcast in, but we were sort of texting back and forth, like, what are we going to talk about? And as we sort of put it together, there's a number of things that none of them feel like we do a full podcast length breakdown on them, but there's a number of things happening in world football right now. For the most part, not like games on the field, races for titles, trophies, but things happening in football that are worth discussing. So I'm joined by Mike Goodman, and we're going to sort of pepper each other with a couple topics, give a couple rants, and get a podcast in, because that's what we do. What's going on, Mike?
All right. The music you're in the way is Whalers. Please download, subscribe, make us happy as podcasters. Patreon.com/doublepivot. It was very brave of you off the top to, like, say we're going to do a number of topics, thus committing us to not just going for 30 minutes on whatever first topic we fire at each other is. But we will endeavor to do our best here.
Yeah, that's very true. I was like, none of these topics are a full podcast, but I was underestimating our capacity to talk.
Yeah, the people don't know how many times in mapping out these podcasts we're like, hey, here's the three things we're going to talk about. And then we do 40 minutes on one thing and we're like, well, I guess we have our next podcast.
Yeah, well, in any case, talking about the way we talk about things is definitely going to prevent us from getting through multiple topics.
Very on brand.
I wanted to toss out there is this new report today or yesterday, again, what are days, that the Premier League is looking at instituting a hard cap on team spending. And the report is that there is a majority of support of clubs behind it. They would obviously need to get to 2/3. That is 14, so we don't know if they're there. But at minimum, there is a lot of support in the Premier League for instituting a very new kind of competition rule.
So let's just, I think the place to start is to break down what the rule is. The rule is we are going to look at the amount of money that the 20th place team makes in the Premier League on TV money specifically. And say, no team can spend more than, I think, 5 times that amount of money. Like, that's what the structure of the rule is. Now, I am skeptical that this has support. The reason I am skeptical is because this had been proposed among the teams before with a 4.5 times number. And there wasn't support. And now the reporting is that, well, they think they've solved the support problem by moving from 4.5 to 5. And I gotta be honest, I am just very skeptical that that gets the job done in this instance. But putting aside whether or not it will happen, this is a really, really interesting, conceptually different thing than anything the Premier League has tried before.
Yeah, and to be clear, it is apparently the combined revenues from the Premier League centralized commercial and broadcasting.
Right.
So it's taking all of the money that all of the clubs get, take the smallest share that is available from that, and 5x that share.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality is at the bottom of the Premier League, it is almost always... It's not just the TV money, but the TV money, both domestic and international, makes up for the 20th place team the vast, vast majority of the commercial revenue.
I agree. Right now, it's a pretty minor factor, and I also agree with you that, like, reporting that you have a majority when you need a supermajority is
right.
You know, that's what you do when you're going to lose.
I mean, I think this is like an attempt to publicly pressure a handful of teams or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think it's worth breaking this down because clearly, you know, this is coming out because there are clubs that want this to happen. And we've spent a lot of time talking about PSR and the profit and sustainability rules and why those rules are so different from what people might be used to in North American sports. Why, as we had Skanda Amarnath on, and he sort of broke down this, the difference between pro-cyclical and counter-cyclical financial regulation. And that PSR is pro-cyclical. It makes it so that teams that are successful are more successful, and teams that are less successful can become less successful in business terms. They have to, they require austerity from those teams if they are unsuccessful. This is North American style. Like, you know, there are some differences, but fundamentally, this is a cap. This is North American. This is counter-cyclical. If your team is very, very successful, has developed lots of very, very good players, and you're trying to keep them, or you're trying to get one more good player to add to them, well, that's a cap. And if you'll go over that cap, you got a cut. And so what this is PSR is fundamentally just not in any way a competition rule. It is not something that is aimed at any kind of competitive balance. This is. This would be trying to cut some of the top off of the Premier League. It's set at a very high level. Almost no one would be above it right now. Being able to spend 5x, you know, more, not quite 5x, the teams have their own individual money, but like some multiple of what the lower level teams spend is a massive advantage. But it would put a cap on it, and creating a cap always allows you to ratchet that cap, always allows you to tighten it up if you get more support. So this is really suggesting a different possible approach to financial regulation in the Premier League.
It also changes the various forms of incentive for making various kinds of money at the top. You know, one of the things that we have talked about, and I don't remember if we talked about it on the pod with Skanda or not, but we've certainly talked about it in the Discord, is this idea that the way things are now, the amount of money you can spend is really like based on how good you are at running the commercial side of your club. That like there was a very direct relationship between brings in commercial dollars and like puts a new midfielder on the field. This rounds the rough edges off of that in a very, very real way. If you're Chelsea or Manchester United or Liverpool, you can't either like succeed or fail based on the varying degrees of revenue like between you. Now you're going to have a cap. Now it's going to be determined by like to a certain degree the success of the 20th team, but realistically speaking, just like it becomes back again something that is not determined by your own commercial revenues. And so we would not have this admittedly very weird incentive structure that was being set up, in which if you want to be like the thing you had to be smart at was not like working under the cap. It was the thing you had to be smart at was giving yourself more money to spend, figuring out ways to get yourself more money to spend. Now that does not become the case. And like, I do think that that's good. Like, I think that, like, I don't have really a problem with PSR, but I do think that that incentive structure that it sets up in that way is not great. And the sort of more basic cap from North American sports creates a much, like, less weird, like, set of ways to become a good soccer team.
It does seem to me that this would be complementary to PSR,
yeah,
rather than a replacement PSR, because this would do nothing about Everton. Everton have spent way beyond their means, but nowhere close to 5x the minimum amount of commercial and broadcast revenue share.
Right. It cuts it off at the top. You can't like run it out. You can't get into a revenue generating arms race in the, you know, with three or four or five teams.
Exactly. It gets rid of a certain amount of the pro-cyclicality at the top. It puts a little bit of counter-cyclicality at the top, while remaining fundamentally deeply pro-cyclical everywhere else. And what is going on is that the Premier League is improvising a set of financial regulations from kind of nowhere. And it's important also to say that when I say the Premier League, I'm really using that as a stand-in for what really is not a single entity. The Premier League is, there are people who run the Premier League and they are clearly trying to do some regulation, but a ton of this is happening via the negotiations between club owners and club presidents. And so it's happening between ownership. It is happening as different coalitions of ownership form and change, and the Premier League as an entity works with them. So I think we're seeing a lot of new ideas come together, and I think it's really unclear exactly what's going to come out of it.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth pointing out here that part of the reason you're seeing this, there are a number of reasons you're seeing this. Everything is overdetermined in life. There's the issue of trying to fend off an independent regulator. So the Premier League and the Premier League clubs are attempting to demonstrate to Parliament, I guess, that they can manage their own affairs. You are also seeing, I think, many Premier League teams believing that they are concretely ahead of the rest of Europe in a way that will survive curtailing their own spending. We've wondered about where this would lead. We've looked at the financial landscape and said, you know, the Premier League has distanced itself so much that it has unbalanced everything and something else will come next. And well, it's like, is it going to be a Super League? I have my pet theory about how the Premier League should create its own version of a Super League. Like, what's UEFA and all these things. And I think what we're seeing here is quite clearly a number of Premier League clubs looking around and saying, well, we have entrenched ourselves so firmly at the top that we can now explore the ways that we can all collectively spend less and not have it hurt our perch at the top. Is that correct? I tend to think it is. But I don't think it's like obviously guaranteed to be so for the next 10, 20 years if they institute these policies.
So I have a take on the government regulator, which will segue us into another topic.
Perfect!
So I have become increasingly convinced that it would be a awful, awful idea in terms of the self-interest of the governing party, whatever it is that wins parliament, whether it is the Tories now or Labour in the future, or God only knows what will happen in the future, to have a government regulator for football. Like, because the government regulator of football, as it has been described, has very broad powers. They are responsible for the wellness of the game of football, because football is such a core interest of the United Kingdom, of the people of the United Kingdom, and all of this. And what that does is it doesn't just set up, like, we can yell at the owners if they are doing something that we believe harms the game of football. And in particular, I think the place where this has all come from is the fear that football teams will collapse. That there is a real social interest, and I think this is absolutely true, there is a real social interest in preventing the collapse of football clubs, because football clubs are such fundamentally local entities and public trusts that it is very bad when they fail, and there should be regulation put in place to prevent them from failing. That seems right to me. But if you have a government regulator of football, is anyone going to think that government regulator is only responsible for preventing the failure of football clubs? What people are going to think is that government regulator is responsible for football, because that's what they are claimed to be. That's what all of the messaging has been. That's what people think. And you know what people care about more in football than basically anything else? Like VAR. whether their team is getting the calls, whether football is fair to Arsenal, to Nottingham Forest, whether football is fair to Tottenham, whether football is fair to Southampton, whether football is fair to Ipswich, and every single team has fans who believe it is not. That's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of fandom. And if you institute a government regulator of football, this person will be the most hated and unpopular person in the entire United Kingdom. Like, it's just guaranteed. And I kind of wonder, I've seen Keir Starmer start to, like, back off a little bit, rhetorically. Could be nothing. I mean, he says stuff. But it does seem to me that what the UK government should want is to threaten a regulator. Hold that over the head of the Premier League. Like, we could do this anytime. We could regulate you. We could just put a government official in charge of you guys, and you wouldn't get to do what you want. And they go, oh, no, we'll be good. We'll be good. We'll be good. And on top of that, as we saw with this proposal, there's a large number of Premier League owners that also want financial regulation, that see financial regulation as being in their interest. They're trying to institute it themselves right now. They're not just doing it because they're forced. They've been sort of pushed into it, but they see the value. And I kind of think that should be the end game, is threaten and then say, man, what good luck it is that the Premier League has put these rules in place. And they're working very fairly with the Football League.
Our bold action of making threats was successful.
Yep.
No, I agree. Like, the thing where every fan of every club has groups of fans whose general position is, really, somebody ought to do something about how unfair the world is to specifically us. Meeting an entity that has the power to do a lot of somethings under the auspices of somebody who you vote for seems very bad to me. Now, like, the challenge here, right, is that there really is a need for regulation in a lot of very concrete ways. Not in terms of complaining about who did what bad call against you on a weekly basis, mind you. But, like, you know, autocrats shouldn't own clubs, for example. Clubs should not go bust, for example. Autocrats shouldn't fakely own clubs, leaving clubs in such financial straits that they turn to really, really sketchy financiers in the reinsurance business who may or may not have any money whatsoever. You know, just to make up an example off the top of my head. So, like, all of that is true. But yes, I think you are right that it is better if it is handled in-house under the threat of government regulation than actually regulated by government. But, of course, what we are all sort of talking about around here is the refereeing stuff at Nottingham Forest, which blew up, which is, I think, the other thing we really want to get to here.
Ref chat Goddard Dammerung. It's so bad. It's so dumb.
Yeah, I feel like we resist ref talk as much as we can, like, a lot. Like, we'll be planning podcasts and we'll be like, well, there's this ref thing, but I don't really wanna. And then we don't. And then, like, once every 3 or 4 months, it just boils over with us. And we're like, okay, we're doing a ref segment and we're mad. And, like, this is ridiculous. So, you know, this is ridiculous.
The key thing here is that the reaction that Nottingham Forest had as a club, you know, these were official club accounts, these were various different communications coming from the club, was to say that the referees were biased because they were fans of Luton, which is competing with Nottingham Forest for relegation. Now, it's pretty funny because they're really mad about things that happened in a game between Everton and Nottingham Forest, and Everton is also competing with Luton to try to not be relegated. Like, but the fact that it doesn't make sense isn't what matters. The deal is that the obsession with ref bias is a broken piece of football discourse that, like, needs to get stomped out. It just breaks the game if this is an acceptable part of discourse, whether from fans or especially from clubs and official entities.
It is really, really, really important to understand that saying the referees are bad is a fundamentally different thing from saying the referees are biased. Bad refereeing impacts everybody equally. Biased refereeing does not. And look, I think there are messy situations at the margin For example, the accusation that nobody gets mad about when bad calls go against littler teams playing big teams, because the assumption is that the big teams are going to win anyway, so what's the big deal? And that sort of bias redounds back on referee performance and has all these incentives, whatever. Like, right, there are muddy situations here on the border, for sure. But broadly speaking, arguing that the refereeing is bad and must improve is a baseline level thing that is experienced by all clubs equally. Arguing that the referees are biased against my club. Nobody ever argues that the referees are biased against their rival's club. Like, it's always biased against my club, right? Arguing that the referees are biased against my club is just... is not a generalizable principle that a league can act on in relation to referees. It can't, you know, and it doesn't work as a prospect to improve refereeing. It is a blind alley. It is a dead end. You cannot have bias in refereeing. It is very important for league structures to not allow bias in refereeing, which is very different, by the way, than saying, like, the VAR is a Luton fan, therefore he is biased. Like, those are two different things. But you can have bad refereeing. You can't have biased refereeing. And accusations of bad refereeing are much more frequently correct than accusations of biased refereeing, which are almost certainly always bullshit. And you can tell because they are made by 20 different fan bases in the Premier League every season.
And this kind of gets to a larger point that I feel about the ref chat discourse, which is I see a lot of people who are affiliating this with linking this up to political commitments. Am I referring specifically to one dumb QT of one of my posts? Maybe, maybe. I'm not better than all of this. They claim that I was offering a fundamentally liberal viewpoint. It's obviously from a left-wing perspective, not from a right-wing perspective. Well, I guess, you know, who knows for sure. But a fundamentally liberal viewpoint because they believe that better things aren't possible. And this just is, I think, a deeply misguided understanding of how politics may or may not intersect with refereeing. The thing about politics, what makes left-wing politics possible as a thing that people do in this world that I and many others participate in, are two things. One is majoritarianism. The fundamental vision of a left-wing politics is that there is a majority of people who are in some way economically particularly oppressed. The idea that this class, the economic majority, is larger than the economic minority. This has been fundamental to left-wing politics more or less forever. And the second is that the world is not zero-sum. You know, Marx very clearly that capitalism, by expanding the capacity of human productivity, has created better things for people, but that this can be improved further, and that all of the massive inequities it also produces can be managed through socialism. But it is not zero sum. It is something where people doing things together grows things. So you have a majority that can control an ever larger share of an ever growing pie. And that is what is fundamental to, I think, you know, any kind of left wing politics. And all of those things are not present in sports and in refereeing. What makes sports so much fun is that we've carved out this weird little section of society that we all choose to love that is zero sum. One team wins, one team loses. Only one team wins a title. There is no positive sum. You know, there's a tiny bit of positive sum that, like, for the Premier League do better, but even that, the tide is lifting all the Premier League boats, that's just water that's coming out of Italy and Spain. It is all zero sum. There's only so many titles. There's only so many trophies. The number of titles and trophies is not expanding. If you tried to expand them, no one would care. No one would like it. We only like the titles and trophies that we've got. So we're stuck with it. So we have no possibility of solidarity that makes things better for everyone. And then on top of that, we don't have majorities. There is not some majority of fans that are being screwed over by the refs and some minority of fans that are getting the benefit of the refs. It's not happening. And so these teams and fans are never able to work in coalition, in solidarity. There is never a solidaristic coalition of teams all arguing together that Nottingham Forest got screwed over. Won't happen. Can't happen. The other teams don't believe that Nottingham Forest got screwed over, or at least they didn't get screwed over in any sort of coherent overall way. So how do you improve refereeing? Like, in theory, you could say that all of the teams benefit, the game is better with better refereeing. But the moment we get into refereeing, what come in are the zero sum. Like, yes, there's a little bit of positive sum here, but everyone starts fighting because they think that their team's getting screwed over more, because what they care about most is their team winning trophies, their team winning matches, their team getting points, their rivals not getting points. Like, they don't care enough about refereeing to make that a core thing. I don't see any way that solidaristic action by clubs or by fans will ever be effective to solve this problem, because the structures of sport are so different from the structures that make solidaristic action possible as politics in the larger world. It just has to be done differently because sports are different. And that's fine. But like, you gotta think through these things before you start turning like your belief that your team got screwed over into a belief that you are doing praxis.
It legitimately bothers me the degree to which people cannot separate the refs are good, bad versus I believe the refs are specifically screwing over my team. Like, if you believe the refereeing is bad, the fundamental bedrock of that is that the refs are not good enough to screw over your team intentionally. Refs would have to be quite good to intentionally identify and call the opposite way decisions against your preferred team. Are they that good? I keep getting told that they're not. I mean, I do think that there is like this really like bifurcated idea here, which on the one hand believes refereeing is so easy that all the calls should just be obviously correct. Refereeing is easy, and therefore, when calls go wrong, it can't just be human error. It must be something nefarious at play that exists at the same time that people are convinced that the refs are incompetent. And you cannot have it both ways. Like, it's one or the other, or neither. Like, I am someone who believes that refereeing could certainly be better, but it is quite difficult to do well.
Refereeing should be better. We've had a lot of fun talking about different ways you could try to improve refereeing. But the basic issue is that public oversight and club oversight are exceptionally unlikely and poorly structured to be the means by which that improvement occurs, because the clubs and the public do not actually have the interest of improving refereeing. They have the interest of improving the calls that their teams get. And that is fine. It is fine to be a fan of your team and want your team to get the calls. It is fine to run a club and want your club to get the calls. We have all signed up for this bizarre activity where we all care about teams in this zero-sum competition for trophies. We all do that, and that is fine. But the thing we've created and the thing we've decided to invest ourselves in is not structured to improve refereeing through our collective action. It has to happen some other way.
And I will say that all of that is fine, like philosophically to a point, but it is not fine practically to exercise your right to complain in a way that damages the league. And it is not healthy for the project of improving refereeing to have teams, fans are not beholden to do anything that they don't want to do within, like, you know, legal rules. Teams, if they aren't, they should be made to be. And you absolutely cannot have a league that permits this kind of undermining of... Look, teams can say the referees were bad, referees made mistakes, the whistle didn't go our way. All of that is fine. But when you begin to accuse the referees of being crooked as an organization, and to be clear, when you say that the referee is biased because of his fandom of another team and therefore did not do his job to the best of his abilities, you are accusing the referee of throwing the game in some form or another. League can't allow it. They just can't allow it. And they really, really shouldn't.
I will defend to the death your right to make bad posts about Bournemouth that I don't like. But, like, clubs can't do that. They are part of this larger entity, and the league has... The league is structured. The league has the rights to restrict and punish teams for their speech. And in this case, they simply should. And, like, when you see graphics going around about where refs grew up and where they live, it is creepy. And how the heck are you going to get better referees if this is what comes of a referee making a call that someone did or not did not get a penalty against Manchester United? Like, it's just fucked up. It's stuck in my craw. I think it's now successfully out of my craw. I've said the things I needed to say. It's just fucked up, man.
There you go. We got through two things. It's better than I thought we might do.
Yeah, so I might have a third thing on the Moose side at some point, or we'll do that at... We'll see. All right, thank you for listening. Oh, and to let you know, speaking of Manchester United, the team I used, I tried to sprinkle different teams in there. I don't want to accuse anyone particularly of being worse, because I think everyone's terrible. But anyway, speaking of terrible, also, we did a podcast on Manchester United. You can go to patreon.com/doublepivot. And we spent some time talking about what we would do if we were in charge, how we would approach the problem of running Manchester United, taking over this club with these massive revenues, this incredibly terrible team given the revenues and the spending, and what is the timeline, who are the players you target, we list some names, fun stuff like that. So if you're interested in us really getting into sort of the, like, building a football club side of things, it's at patreon.com/doublepivot, and you can check it out there. Cheers, y'all.
Cheers, y'all.